Christian, you have pearls, and I want to encourage you to take care of your pearls. And I want to thank Beth for the idea for this sermon, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on. Take care of your pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a fine pearl of great value. If you already have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 13, and as we've already read this morning, as Jesus is telling us here some things as to things to which the kingdom of heaven is likened. And he says here in verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I want you to try to imagine being this person, this one who is so interested in pearls. And maybe for you it's something different. Personally, I'm not all that interested in pearls. But whatever it is for you, and you're seeking to find such a thing as this, and you're looking for it very diligently, and you're traveling the world, and you're sacrificing and giving up so many things, and you find this pearl, whatever that may be in your life, and you sell all that you have. Perhaps you sell your house. Maybe you sell your business. Perhaps you take what retirement you have saved up, and you take it all and you go and you purchase just this one thing. This is being expressed to us by Jesus, our attitude toward heaven, toward salvation, and toward our soul. A pearl, physically, a pearl is something of great value. It adorns kings' palaces, Esther 1:6. Ahasuerus' palace was adorned with pearls. Allegorically, Webster's dictionary tells us that it is one that is very choice or precious. It is something resembling a pearl intrinsically or physically. Our soul has an intrinsic value of that which we could place upon the greatest things upon the world, and even more than that. For example, when a young man gives a young woman an engagement ring, and that's usually a very nice ring. Sometimes it's the nicest ring that the young lady will ever have for her entire life. It is something of great value to signify the value the young man puts upon that individual and that relationship. Heaven is described as one with this great value. Perhaps you remember from the description of heaven as John gives it, inspired by God, Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, there's 12 gates, and each one of these gates is a single grand, magnificent pearl. Here Jesus is teaching us about our attitude. What is the value you place upon learning about God and salvation? Is that the greatest thing of all in your life? Greater than all of your wealth, all of your possessions, and all of your relationships? Jesus says we must hate mother and father, brother and sister, husband and wife, and love Him more. Do we place greater value upon learning about God and learning about salvation and studying our Bibles, being ready for our Bible classes, paying attention during the lessons, and having our own study at home, whatever that may be? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Hunger and thirst is one who is hungry and needs to eat and has not eaten for days. I remember seeing an individual dig through a trash can, a garbage can, a dumpster behind a grocery store one time and pulling food out of there to eat. Humiliating experience for the individual. And for me, somewhat to watch. And do we hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be in a right relationship with God? As one who would go through a dumpster, or go through the trash can, or go to whatever lengths were necessary to eat. What is the value you place upon being saved and serving God? Would you give up anything? Would you sell all that you have so that you could do whatever was necessary to be saved and to serve God? And what is the value you place on your relationship with God and Jesus Christ? To love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love Him more than any other thing, any other person. And what price would you pay in worldly terms to be saved? Is there anything in the world that you would withhold from God? Is there anything in the world that you are withholding from God? If so, you truly not do not view your soul and salvation as being the pearl Jesus is talking about. Have you denied yourself and taken up your cross and followed after Jesus Christ? If you have, then you truly indeed have the great pearls in your life, and that is your soul and your salvation. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, Jesus also likens it to this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Here is a man who's looking for treasure, and he finds this treasure, and he goes and puts it somewhere else in this field. He hasn't stolen it, he's just put it somewhere else. He's just put it in a different hole so that he knows where it's at. And he goes and he buys the entire field to get that treasure. Is this the way that you view your soul and your salvation? Is this the way that you think about your relationship with God? You would travel the world. You would pay any price, any cost, to know about God and to faithfully serve Him. And young people, this is the point Beth brought up. Before I bring that up, I forgot to go to Luke chapter 15. Go over there with me real quick. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and beginning in verse 8. Here Jesus also giving us another example. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Wouldn't you like to be in heaven and see that? Wouldn't you just love to see that? And I think about that sometimes when one obeys the gospel and one is baptized into Christ, and afterwards perhaps we're just standing around, sitting around, we're talking, we have a prayer, and I wonder to myself, what is going on in heaven right now? What is going on? And you know the sad thing about it? That here the angels know how important this is, of what great value this is. As a soul has repented and is saved from his sins, as a child of God. And sometimes we're just so disinterested that we cannot spend another 30 minutes at the end of a service to watch someone enter into Christ. Have you been guilty of that? I'll confess, I've been guilty of that. And that shows that I have the wrong attitude about salvation and souls, that I truly do not understand and do not put the value upon one soul coming to God. And now, for the point of the young folks, the point that Beth originally brought up to me that got me thinking about all of this, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And young people, I want to impress upon you this morning, those of you especially who have been brought up in the Lord by your parents, and you probably will not truly appreciate this until you are some years older, but I want to impress this upon you today. And let's read Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, or training and admonition of the Lord. Young people, do you understand the great gift your parents have given to you to bring you up in the training and admonition of the Lord, to teach you about God? It's a great value and a great blessing that you have. And there are so many people in the world who do not have that today and must struggle. So diligently to have what you may take for advantage. Young people, the older that you get, the more that you're going to appreciate what your parents have done for you. And one day, probably, I hope, go to them and tell them, thank you, if you haven't already. Because as you obey the gospel, you have a great pearl in your life, the greatest thing your parents could ever give to you or do for you. And that is the pearl of salvation and that of your soul, so that you too can live in heaven. Well, do not cast your pearls before swine. I showed Andrea this picture. I thought I'd get some chuckles. Let me back it up for you there for a second. And I picked a picture that I hope it looks pretty nasty. You know, an old slobbery pig. I remember one time as I was a child, I used to call it working on a farm. It was really playing on the farm. They let me drive the tractor a little bit and some things like that. I was in fourth and fifth grade, and I remember one time as I was there and they were getting the pigs loaded up. And, you know, I thought I was going to help out. So I just whacked that one of those guys on the snout, you know. And I got a messy old nasty hand. I'll never forget it. Beth grew up. Her dad raised some pigs. She knows all about that. And the reason I picked that picture is because I wanted a nasty, gross picture there. Because swine are nasty, gross animals. God put them there. Doesn't mean anything bad. That's just the way that it is. And we're not to cast our pearls before swine. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs." I could have focused on that, but I'm talking today about the pearl part. "And do not throw your pearls before swine, for they trample them under their feet, and they turn and tear them to pieces." Now, there's a few things we could talk about with this. But basically, Jesus here is talking about and telling us not to waste time and energy and effort trying to share our holy things with people who do not care about them. And I want to talk about that in two respects after I give you a couple of illustrations. One illustration is a secular illustration. You know, it doesn't do any good if you have some passion about something. It doesn't do any good to try and share that with other people if they're not interested in it. You know, that's the old thing about having people to come over and look at home movies. You're not going to entertain people very long with home movies. I mean, they're going to be interested for a little bit and those types of things, but not for hours on end, because they frankly don't care about your vacation. They care about their vacation. Beth likes to look at her pictures from Hawaii, and I enjoy looking at them a little bit, but she likes looking at them a whole lot more than the rest of us do, because she went there. The rest of us were here working while she was having fun. We don't particularly care to look and see how much fun she had without us, you know? So we don't have the passion for that she does. I'm glad she went and had fun. I hope I can go and have fun one time and bore somebody else. No, I'm just teasing, honey. You don't bore us. But you get the point. The same thing is true with religion and with evangelism. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to try to identify the people who are interested, so that we're not spending all of our time on people who aren't interested and we don't get to the people who are interested. Sort of like a salesman who has to qualify leads. salesman could be talking to a bunch of people who aren't interested and go broke. We too could be talking to a lot of people who aren't interested, and we pray that they're interested at some point or another, but we need to go on and find those who are interested and not cast our pearls before swine. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, but I want to talk about it in this respect also. When we share and have fellowship with evil and with sin, and we all understand that we cannot get out of the world completely. The Apostle Paul tells us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, God doesn't want us to go off and live in caves somewhere and be hermits. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to live in the world, but yet we must be careful not to share and have fellowship with darkness and with sin. To do that, let me suggest to you, although it's not the immediate context what Jesus was talking about, that it is then casting our pearls before swine, that they just trample over them and rend them into pieces. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." So in other words, if I can put that into the illustration that I'm using here, "Therefore do not put your pearls in their midst to be tore up and ruined by these individuals." Drop down to verse 7. "Therefore do not be partakers with them." In other words, do not partake in their sin and those things that they do. To do so is to cast your pearls before swine. It is not to hold them up and to count them as precious as they are, to treat them as you should. But it is to treat them as profane. And drop down to verses 11 through 13. "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." That's what a pearl does. It exposes these other things as being worthless and of no good. "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." And this is the extent to which we are to guard our pearls. Again, we can't get out of the world. And the Lord does not want us to get out of the world. He doesn't want us to have a commune where we live all by ourselves and we shut the world out. But He does not want us to defile our pearls with sin. Not even to speak of these things. And how many of us here are guilty of speaking of these things in a joking manner? I confess to that. I'm guilty of that. And that's wrong. And drop down to verse 15. "Therefore be careful how you walk." In other words, in what we're talking about this morning, be careful where you put your pearls. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. "How so? Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. "If we give our pearls over to the swine," in other words, if we turn our back from God and we throw our pearls to the swine, proverb that Peter talks about here in verse 22, "It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallow in the mire." Do not be a dog that goes back and eats his own vomit. Do not be a pig, a swine that goes back, once having been cleansed, goes back into the mud puddle. You might vaguely see the picture back behind me. Goes back to the mud puddle and wallows in the mire just to get dirty all over again. Do not cast your pearls before swine. But one more point I want to share with you this morning. Do not allow yourself to be deceived by the devil's pearls. Yes, the devil has some pearls. Turn your Bible over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. I've already reminded you this morning that heaven is described as being one with those pearly gates, as we say it. But also Satan has some pearls in worldly terms. The world looks at the things of Satan and sees this great, wonderful, beautiful thing, these pearls. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4, the woman, this is Babylon, figure 4, Rome, who deceived the nations according to the will of Satan, deceived the nations to persecute the saints to the death. Verse 4, the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. Yes, the abominations and the immorality of Satan is a pearl to many. Those who relish in sin and adorn themselves with sin. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 16. Here, speaking of Babylon, figuratively Rome. Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. The pearls of sin, the pearls of the devil. As the Lord continues to tell us throughout this chapter and going to the next, was brought down and was defeated by God. And the pearls of Satan were destroyed. And two, if we adopt those pearls in our life, we too shall be brought down and we too shall be destroyed and punished for eternity. Revelation chapter 20. The second death. Thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone with the devil to live forever. So let's not allow ourselves to be deceived by the devil's pearls. We must protect our pearls. How do we do that? Turn your Bibles with me over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let me try to go through some things very quickly. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. And let me suggest to you this morning, to take care of our pearls, we must take care as to what we are listening to, who we listen to, those who teach and what they teach. And recreationally also, we must be careful what we listen to. If we allow ourselves to be polluted with the devil's pearls in recreation, music and TV and movies, of course, they're not all bad, wrong. They're not all wrong and bad, you know that. And if we constantly allow ourselves to be bombarded, it's true we cannot get away from all of it, but we do not need to subject ourselves to it constantly, every day. We need to take care of our pearls. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Are you taking care of your pearls? Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. So take care how you listen. Jesus says, be careful what you are listening to. What are you listening to? What are you putting your priorities on today? Not only be careful of what you listen to, but how are you listening? Are you listening with spiritual ears or worldly ears? Are you listening according to the wisdom of man or the wisdom of God? Are you listening diligently? Searching the Scriptures to see if these things are true, and if so, applying them to your lives, or are you just believing whatever one would say? Are you listening with a heart that earnestly desires to know the truth? One who loves the truth with all of their heart. Be careful what you listen to and how you listen. Hebrews chapter 3, take care of your pearls. do not fall away from God with an unbelieving heart. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. As the Apostle Paul here is writing Hebrew Christians, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Make sure that you take care of your heart to take care of your pearls. Make sure that you are guarding your heart, that you believe and that you are convinced, and you do not allow the devil with all of his pearls and all of his wonderful things in a physical, humanistic sense to come and to deceive you into thinking that those things of the world are right and the things of God, the Bible, are wrong. Be careful. Watch over your heart and take care of your heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 16. Do not sell your birthright. As a Christian, one who has the pearls of God, one who has his soul, possesses his soul, one who has saved his soul, do not sell your birthright. Do not sell your soul. Do not exchange the pearls of salvation for the pearls of sin. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. And Esau is an example for us here. He sold his birthright. The illustration, the analogy here, he sold his salvation, and people sell their salvation every day. And let us be careful as Christians who possess these great pearls of God, not to throw them to the swine in exchange for the pearls of the devil that end in everlasting damnation. And turn your Bibles back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. As Jesus here is speaking to the seven churches of Asia, and here to the church of Smyrna, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days, but be faithful until death. I think what he's talking about there, in regards to the persecution that they were about to suffer, and in regards to the persecution that many of them would suffer being crucified on the cross, being eaten alive by animals, being humiliated in the vilest way, he's saying, be faithful to the point of death. Do not cast your pearls to the swine, even while being eaten by swine. Wild boar, one of the most cruelest, vicious animals alive. Do not cast your pearls to the swine while you're eaten by the swine. Don't cast them. Give them up to try to save one bit of persecution. And one more scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Stay alert. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Stay sober. Stay alert. Pay attention. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Do not let go of them. Do not give them up for anything. What is the attitude you have toward your soul and salvation? If you're not a Christian this morning, what pearls do you have? If you're a Christian but you've turned away from God and you're back in the world, what pearls do you have? The pearls of Satan, which are of no value. If you're a Christian this morning, what are you telling God as He watches how you treat your pearls? What are you telling God as He watches how you treat your pearls? I watch Beth and the way she treats her engagement ring and wedding ring. And it tells me something about what she thinks about me and our relationship. She treats it in a very good way. Takes care of it. Makes sure it's clean. In good order. But if she abused it and threw it around and lost it, kept it dirty, that would also tell me what she thought about our relationship. And it would not be good. What are you telling God today by the way you take care of your pearls? If you're faithful to Him today, serving Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're telling Him you love your pearls more than anything else. Make sure that's the message all of us are sending today. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's perhaps one way of looking at it. That is a pearl of life. Blood of Jesus Christ. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ, you have the greatest pearl of all. If you're not a Christian yet, if you're not faithful to the Lord, you do not have the greatest pearl of life. And you can obtain it today if you're willing to sell all and buy that one pearl. If you're subject to the gospel invitation this morning, won't you come now? As we stand and as we sing.